Welcome to this episode of the Normalize Surrogacy podcast by Surrogacy Mentor. I'm your host, Carrie Flamer Powell, experienced gestational surrogate, former surrogacy agency owner, and founder of Surrogacy Mentor, where our aim is to help surrogates match with reputable surrogacy agencies for a safe, ethical, and enjoyable surrogacy journey. Also joining me today is Marielle Schuberth, Surrogate Intake Coordinator for Surrogacy Mentor. Hi, Marielle. So I'm super excited about today's topic because as experienced surrogates ourselves, we have definitely encountered this topic. And that is strange, funny, and infuriating, otherwise known as shit people say to surrogates.
So it's going to be a good one.
Yeah. As people might imagine, surrogacy is not well understood, right? In the general public, even though it's becoming more and more popular, it's still not well understood. And there's a lot of misconceptions. There's a lot of assumptions and a lot of really bad information out there. Yes. So surrogates hear a lot of crazy stuff. And in addition to the misconceptions, there's also still a little bit of, what's the word I'm looking for? Not scandal, but it's a little controversial, right? Yep. Some people have strong opinions about surrogacy. And so today we're going to talk about all the things that surrogates hear and correct some of these things. So what we did is we have a Facebook group that has a couple hundred surrogates in it. And that's from the agency that I used to own and the agency that Marielle did one of her journeys with. Was it one journey or two journeys?
Two.
Yeah. Okay. Sorry. I knew that. All Family Surrogacy that I used to own that I founded. And we have a Facebook group of all the surrogates that are either actively working with the agency or have worked with the agency in the past as a surrogate. And we said, hey, give us all your best crazy things that have been said to you so that we can use them on this podcast. So this is a collection of those things. And we're just going to dive right in, actually. Let's go. I went through all the comments and I grouped them by like general topic because we tend to hear the same types of things, the same themes over and over from people. Mm-hmm. So the first one is giving the baby away. So this is a very common one. So I'm going to let you read the first one and then we can talk about it.
All right. So our first giving the baby away, this is from a surrogate. She says, I went to get a massage while prego, and I made the mistake of saying it was a surrogacy, which shouldn't be a mistake. And she talked to me throughout the entire massage, and none of it was really pleasant. I wasn't the least bit relaxed the entire time and left irritated. I know the whole, I couldn't do that and give my babies away, blah, blah, blah.
So the massage therapist was basically telling her the whole time during her massage that there's no way that the massage therapist could envision even ever being a surrogate or giving babies away. And we hear that a lot, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, it's funny. The first thing that I hear out of a lot of women's mouth is, oh, I could never do that. And my response is always, good, then you definitely shouldn't.
Yep. I know. And I always respond to these as I'm not giving the baby away. I'm giving them back. It was never my baby to begin with. And I think that's a hard one for people to wrap their minds around is that it was never mine. So it's not I'm giving my baby away. I'm not giving anything away. I'm just giving them back.
Exactly. But people in their minds think you grew a baby, then it's yours. And that's not how this works.
Nope.
So let's read the next one. So a surrogate says, I'm having unexpected twins, which means she had one embryo transferred to her uterus and it naturally split into twins, as embryos will sometimes do. So she's actually going to have twins when initially she and the intended parents were actually just trying to have one baby, but nature took its course and now there's two. So she says, I'm having unexpected twins, and multiple people asked me if I have to keep the second baby because my intended parents only wanted one baby in the beginning. And I'm like, no. That's a really bold question. And I would love to say that I've never heard that because I was pregnant with twins as a surrogate initially as well. But it is actually pretty common for people to say that. What if the parents don't want one of the babies? Or if you're having twins, do you get to keep one? Okay, why, Marielle, is this wrong on so many levels?
Oh my gosh. First of all, they're not, it's not your babies. And there are, they talk about this very explicitly in your surrogacy contract. So all of this is already ironed out before you even get pregnant. And they talk about all of these details beforehand. It's not your baby. You don't get to just choose to keep it. Just everything about it is so wrong. And right. Parents are going into this knowing that there is a chance that nature will take its course and an embryo could split. It's just, and surrogates are not going into this process because they want to keep this baby. So I know for me personally, when everybody asked that, don't you want more babies? No, I don't want them. Like, it's not hard for me to give them back because I'm done. I don't want any more babies. I want nothing to do with night feedings, all the things like they knew.
Absolutely. The analogy that I always use, and I'll probably apply this to several of these comments throughout this podcast, the analogy I always use is babysitting. So if you, listener, were to babysit, let's say your nieces and nephews, you have three nieces, and if you were to babysit them, let's just say for a weekend, right? It's a little longer than most people would do a babysitting. So let's say you babysit your little nieces and nephews for a weekend, and then they drop off an extra kid because you know, their neighbor that's going on vacation with them needed a babysitter. So now you've got four kids. One, do you get to keep the extra kid because you got dropped off an extra kid? No, that's not your kid. Okay. And two, at the end of the weekend, are you going to mourn and grieve and wish that these could be your children and you could keep them and legally fight to try to keep these kids? No, because why? They're not your children. You're just giving them back. And this is a very rough and simple way to help people step into the mindset of a surrogate. Obviously, there's a lot more dynamics to this, a lot more complication. However, the basics are still the same, right?
Yep.
You are caring for, as a gestational surrogate, you are caring for, taking care of, nurturing, growing someone else's child with the full intention and excitement for the day when you get to give them back to their parents. That's all it is. And people don't quite understand that because pregnancy equals motherhood in a lot of people's minds. And that's not how surrogacy works. All right. So you want to read the next one?
Let's see. Isn't it hard giving your baby away? As we've covered before all this, it's not our baby. It's not hard. That's literally the goal. It's the goal in mind is giving that baby back. That's the whole point. It's to see that look. The look, the first look is the best part when you see those parents see that baby for the first time. So it's one that you will hear a lot, but it is definitely not how it works.
And then, yeah, so the other one's the same. That's your baby. How could you give a baby away? And then also, won't you miss the baby after you deliver? And so this goes back to what I just said. I want to be really real about the fact that there are physical things that happen to a woman's body after she has a baby. There are crazy hormones, crazy changes in the body that are happening. For a lot of women, your milk is coming in after you deliver. And there is definitely a period for me personally. I'll speak about my personal experience because everyone is different. For me personally, there was a period of about 2 weeks after I delivered as a surrogate where my body was saying, hey, there should be a baby here. Like you should be feeding a baby. There's milk here. There's hormones telling you that there's a baby to care for. Obviously, your body is healing and everything physically is telling you there should be a baby here. So that, of course, is going to bring up certain emotions. And then you also have this hopefully amazing relationship with the parents that you delivered for. And now that relationship has fundamentally shifted. You're now at the end of this amazing journey between all of you, and now there's a baby to take care of, and that's the primary focus of the parents. So you're dealing with a little bit of sadness and grief that your part in their story has come to an end. So if you take the physical things that are happening to your body, which are intense, and then you take the emotions that come with those hormones, and then you take the process of grieving that relationship change with the parents, there's definitely a resettling, readjusting period after delivery. Yep. People often mistake that for, oh, she's emotional. She misses the baby. She's emotional. She wants that kid. No, it's not at all. And so I think if people understood more of the dynamics of what goes on in a surrogacy, they would get that, the surrogate's probably going to have some emotional adjusting to do. And it really has nothing to do with the baby.
Yeah, I was just having a conversation actually with a potential GC yesterday about this very topic. And she asked the same thing. Were you sad after? How did that work? Because she had a little bit of the normal baby blues after having a baby. And she thought it was just because she's tired. I'm like, way I explained it from my experience was, but that hormone crash is going to happen to you regardless of whether you're taking that baby home with you and you're sleep deprived, or if you're coming home as a surrogate. That's just natural. That's on a physiological level. There's nothing you can do to change that. And yeah, the extra sleep that you're getting helps, but it doesn't help that crash. It's going to happen. And yeah, were there periods of time where I was just sad for no reason? Yes, it had nothing to do with me wanting the baby or not having the baby. It wasn't sad because of that. I was sad because there was no more milk in the refrigerator because my crazy hormone crash was making me, you know, do, do weird things. So do you still have that period of what they refer to the baby blues? Not obviously not full postpartum depression, but that typical crash is going to happen regardless of whether you're taking a baby home. And he said, I was never sad because of the baby. I was very happy for that. And that made me cry too, because I was crying because I was happy. I was crying. It's a normal thing that happens regardless of whether you're taking the baby. And it was never sadness. I agree with you wholeheartedly of that. And I was telling her, I was like, honestly, I was more sad when I stopped pumping because as you explained, that was the definite end of my journey. And I think I was more sad about stopping pumping, knowing that had come, than I was coming home without a baby. I think it's a hard thing for people who haven't done it to wrap their brain around separating all of that out, but it definitely, it has nothing to do with the baby, really. It's just your body and how things work.
That's right. Yeah, absolutely. Okay. So let's move on to the next sort of category, and that's how the baby was actually created. So I'll let you take the first one there.
Ooh, this is always a fun topic. Let's see. This GC says, after I explained to an older lady how the embryo transfer worked, she responded, oh, so they didn't pork you? No, they did not, was her response.
Yeah. And so the next couple ones are pretty much the same. Well, the next one, it says, an old man asked me if I had to sleep with the father of the baby to get pregnant. Okay, let's talk about this. Obviously, babies are made in lots of different ways, right? This day and age. We're going to just talk about gestational surrogacy. There is never a situation in a gestational surrogacy that is done properly and ethically where a surrogate would sleep a man to have the child. So the surrogate is going to undergo an IVF procedure. She's going to undergo an embryo transfer and lots of fertility medication. That embryo, in next week's episode, if everyone tunes in, we're talking to an embryologist who is also a surrogacy agency owner, who explains the whole process that the surrogate goes through. But this is done with an IVF doctor in an IVF clinic with embryos that are created in a petri dish through the IVF process. And then that embryo is placed in the surrogate's uterus. There is no scenario in which a surrogate would ever have sex with anybody to get pregnant as a gestational surrogate. So let's just put that out there. But for some reason, people seem to think that's common. Mm-hmm. Another question in this topic, my intended parents are mixed gay couples, meaning mixed races. And she said, so I've also had people ask me, what color are the babies going to be? Wow. So again, lots of different ways that babies are made these days. And there are ways that parents can decide whose sperm or egg they'd like to use, and therefore could possibly determine which ethnicity or race the baby would be. But that's really nobody's business but the parents. Yeah. And sometimes the parents don't even want to know. They'll work with the IVF clinic to create the best quality embryos using all different mixtures of their genetic material. And what happens, happens.
And I always love some of these. Like, I always wonder, is that you would never ask like a married couple who is mixed what color their baby is going to be when they are born. And if they do, then you're a jerk. Like, so why is it appropriate to ask me somebody that? It never ceases to amaze me. I think pregnancy in general, people feel this need. I don't know where like personal boundaries like somehow get dropped when you're pregnant in general. Well, people will come up to you and touch you and ask you personal questions. It definitely gets even more bizarre sometimes when it's not yours. And then they come out with questions you never even fathomed. Something that would seem appropriate to ask.
Yeah. And the other question along those same lines that I've heard before, and it's usually directed obviously at the parents, but it's along those same lines. They'll say, why are you doing surrogacy when there's so many kids that need to be adopted or are in foster care? You would never ask that of a married couple. If a married couple was sitting at a restaurant with their three kids, you would never walk up and say, why did you choose to have three children when there are so many kids available for adoption and foster care? None of your damn business. And honestly, how people choose to become parents and families, none of your damn business.
Exactly. And the adoption system is still not set up very favorably for LGBTQIA people. Unfortunately, it is still very biased as far as all that goes. So that may not even be an option for some families. And it's awful. And so
it's not an option in countries like China and lots of other countries where those parents come to the US to do surrogacy because their country literally prohibits them from participating in IVF and or adoption and or marriage rights. So there are a lot of reasons people create the families they do in the way that they do. And people need to be a little more sensitive to that. So let's finish these under the topic of how babies are created. One says, did you have to cheat on your husband and have sex with a gay man to get pregnant? And then the other one, is the baby going to look like you? Let's go back to the basics. Why don't you, Mariel, talk about why would the baby not look like the surrogate?
Because the surrogate's genetic material is not used at all. It's not how it works. So, and we talked about this in a previous podcast, but we don't necessarily know how the embryos are created as far as whether they're using donor material, genetic material from one of the parents, two of the parents, a full embryo adoption. There's many ways that these embryos are created. However, the one constant that we do know is that it does not involve any DNA, genetic material, or eggs, anything from the surrogate. So it will in no way look like the surrogate other than being a human baby. Maybe same color hair by default, but it will not have any genetic tie to the surrogate. So any look alike would be coincidental at most.
Absolutely. So I carried for two women, and one of the moms always jokes with me when she sends me pictures of the little boy that I carried. She always says, you really make beautiful babies. And it's a joke because obviously he's not beautiful because I made him, but we joke and I'm like, yep, that's my doing. I make beautiful babies. But it's very common in surrogacy to see an African-American surrogate who carried a Chinese baby or a Caucasian surrogate who carried an African-American baby. These things are not limited to what people generally think of when they think of pregnancy and babies. So it's very interesting. And then no, we don't have sex with gay men or any men to get pregnant. So hopefully that ties that up in a little bow so that people understand that sex is not involved in creating babies in gestational surrogacy scenarios.
Yep.
Okay, so next category, how much are you getting paid / are you just in it for the money? So I will let you take those first couple there.
Let's see here. We've got one surrogate who said, there were several comments about how my husband was probably only in it for the money. I don't even know where to start with that one. Through all of our thorough screening and vetting, we make sure that nobody is being forced into surrogacy, be it from their husbands or significant others, or even by circumstance. I know some people think people are only doing it for the money and that they're hard up for cash. And this is why they're selling their bodies. I mean, people can be really nasty about this topic, but through our thorough screening process, we make sure that the surrogate is in it for the right reasons and is not being forced to do it by anybody, including her husband.
And can I just make a personal comment here? It's none of anybody's business, but my personal situation, when I became a surrogate, at the time, compensation was less than half of what it is these days. So a general compensation rate for a surrogate these days is about $40,000. And that's typically for about a 2 to 3 year commitment, depending on how your journey goes. So we'll talk about breaking down that math in a second. But in my particular situation, I was a stay-at-home mom because my wife at the time worked full-time and was making into the six figures, like plenty of money coming into our household. I did not need the money, and I certainly didn't need the $20,000 that I got, which is pennies on the dollar. I think at one time when I did the math, it was like $1.61 an hour or something. I did not need the money or do it for the money. And most, every single surrogate that hopefully makes it through screening doesn't do it for the money. So it's really funny because people hear this number like $40,000, but they also don't hear, okay, would you take a job offer? And they said, we're going to offer you $40,000, but for that $40,000, you have to work 24/7 for the next 2 years minimum, might have to extend that to 3 years if the job doesn't go the way we plan. And you're going to have no benefits, no vacation time, no overtime pay. And then after you get done with the job requirements, you're going to also have to do a little extra work, AKA pumping breast milk or recovering from a delivery. Would you take that job?
Oh, but you forgot to mention the, you know, daily shots and monitoring and ultrasounds and everything else thrown in there. So
I have to add that in. So before you take this $40,000 2 year assignment, you've got to spend about 3-ish to 6-ish, maybe months getting ready and trained for the job. And we're not going to pay you for that training. You might actually have to come out of pocket just a tiny bit to pay for a couple of things. How's that job sounding for you, Mario? You want that job?
Yeah, no.
That's really, honestly, I'm obviously simplifying things, and surrogacy has so much more to it than money, which is the point, right?
Yep.
Yeah. So that's funny. Okay. So let's move on to another couple of comments here.
Let's see. No amount of money would be enough for me to give up my baby. And then her response was, well, one, I'm not giving up a baby. I'm giving back a baby to its parents. And two, great. Then don't be a friggin' surrogate. Solid response, man. Solid response.
Yeah, that's what I would always tell people. Look, there are two types of people that can be surrogates and should be surrogates and people that cannot. There's no right or wrong here. There are just literally, it's just there are people who can be doctors and people that cannot. There are people that can be, what are they? The people that jump out of airplanes in the military, paratroopers or whatever. And then there's people like me who definitely could never do that. We just are cut out for certain things in our life. And a lot of women are not cut out to be surrogates. And that's what the screening process is in place for, is to weed out the ones who aren't cut out for it, because it is not an easy gig. Yeah. It's rewarding. It's absolutely worth it. It's amazing. Aside from having my child, the most amazing thing I've ever done in my life. But it is not forever. So if you could never envision yourself being a surrogate, thank you for not applying. We appreciate it. So the next one here, this is where one of the surrogates actually did the math. And she actually did some pretty conservative math because her journey was pretty short or normal length. My journey was almost double this length. And so that's why my per hour broke down to about half. But what she said is, I actually did some math after being asked about compensation so much. The average length of time to complete the entire surrogacy process is about 15 to 18 months. So let's just estimate 16 months to make it easy. If you take 16 months, that's $11,680. $40,000 average compensation for a surrogate. Divide that by 11,680 hours. You come up with a per hour amount of $3.42. So I would just respond and tell people, I make about $3.42 an hour. And that usually shuts people up. It usually makes them go, oh, that's not a lot of money.
Yeah.
And that number is actually, in my opinion, high. I think the more accurate average is probably closer to about $2.50, because not every journey is going to go perfect and stay on track. Yep. So it's an interesting idea, but it's definitely a myth that people think surrogates are doing this for the money, or that they're getting an amount of money that's actually like fundamentally changing their life.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay. So next category is homophobic or just plain stupid. Okay. I'll let you take the first one.
All right. Let's see. If God wanted same-sex couples to be able to have kids, they would be able to. I have personally heard this one myself, and I don't know, you can't hear my eye roll through this podcast, but I promise you it's big and it's fierce. That it's just, I don't have PC words or phrases to say in response to this.
It's ridiculous.
Her response, yes, her response to this was, A, why did God make surrogates then? And B, straight people have to use surrogates too, and single people, etc.
So why did If we follow the theory, let's follow your theory, Mr. or Mrs. question answerer or question asker. Let's follow your theory. So if God wanted same-sex couples to have kids, they'd just be able to. Great. So if God wanted infertile straight couples to be able to have kids, he just would have made them fertile. And if God wanted single parents to be able to have children, he would have just made them able to have kids by themselves. So basically, this follows the tenet of the only valid family structure is that of a fertile heterosexual couple. And that is so 18th, 17th century that it's ridiculous, right? Like, we're in 2022. Families are created in lots of different ways.
Yep.
All families are valid, valuable, and this is just an outdated, old school, usually religiously inspired idea. And it's just one that I personally fundamentally reject. It's just not something that even enters into my mind as being a valid argument.
No. And so many people just, when they bring religion into it, gets crazy. I had a friend who did IVF, not surrogacy, but just IVF. And she worked for a Catholic school and was actually let go and had to resign from that because in the school and the church, the science behind IVF is considered wrong. And she was actually asked to step down because she was being verbal about her road to parentage. So she is a heterosexual married female just trying to grow her family and was fired from her job, or actually not fired, asked to step down because they were saying the way that she was choosing to create her family was wrong. Right. I told her, you know what, girl? We can burn in hell together because I not only did IVF three times, but I'm carrying a gay couple's baby. So you know what? If that's where we're going to be, we'll enjoy it together.
That's right. Let's all have
love. It's all about bringing love in. And if love is wrong, then I don't want to be right. That's all I got.
Absolutely. Yep. You know what? You're more of a feminist than you think. If you guys listen to the Feminism and Surrogacy podcast, Maria wasn't sure if she's a feminist, but I think she's a hardcore feminist. She just doesn't know. Okay, the next comment that surrogates have gotten from people: why would you choose to destroy your body for something you can't even keep? I'm pretty sure my body still works, so it's not destroyed. So we're good there. And again, not wanting to keep the baby, so we're good there too. I just think people also have this, I think this is attached to this idea and this myth. A lot of people still think that parents who undergo surrogacy, who need the help from a surrogate, are doing it just because the woman doesn't want to go through the pain or the discomfort or the weight gain of pregnancy. Like, it's just an inconvenience thing. That's not true. Most states actually dictate that you need to have a medical reason for working with a surrogate. And so this idea of you're destroying your body, or I don't know, it's a weird, twisted idea. So I don't know. What do you think about that?
Oh, no, I agree with that. With all of my journeys, my first journey was for a heterosexual couple and a mom who had complications with miscarriages and infertility. And it was actually really hard for her to see me pregnant with her twins. Rightfully, I'll be honest, I've been a surrogate three times, and I don't know how I would personally feel watching another woman carry my babies. Like, I don't. And so I can totally understand that being really hard. And she would have given anything to be able to successfully carry her babies. So this idea that somebody is doing it for vanity reasons is frankly bullshit. That's not how it is. And I've seen that pain and trying to enjoy knowing that your babies are coming, but having that kind of really hard struggle with seeing somebody do what you can't. That's not easy either. This is not the easy way out, and it's not the easy way to parenthood, especially for women who have to seek a surrogate, because as a woman, that's, you want to be able to do that and bring your babies in. And to say that somebody's doing it because they don't want to get fat is not how that works. It's just not.
It's ridiculous. And it is bullshit. But when you're saying that, it brings up a point for me, which is that it's one of the beautiful revolutions that surrogacy has started, which in my mind is pregnancy does not equal motherhood, right? We need to start undoing this idea in our society that the only right, quote unquote, or quote unquote, natural way to bring babies in or into the world or create a family is for the woman who's going to be the mother to bring that child into the world through birth. we need to start undoing this idea of attaching maternity, maternal and family and everything to the pregnancy itself, because that also discounts adoption. That also discounts foster care. That also discounts lots of different ways that people become parents that doesn't involve you specifically carrying a pregnancy. So we need to start detaching ourselves from the idea that's somehow superior, because it's not. Of course, you want to carry your own children if you can, but if you can't, motherhood or parenthood is no less valuable and no less special because of the way the babies came. And the bond is no less strong between parent and baby. All right. So moving on here, let me grab this next one. So it says, the surrogate says, my husband got several reactions. One common one was that I was selling my body or that I'm a baby mill. I have also been asked a lot about giving babies away or how I could ruin my body just for someone else's baby. And I've also been told that I took part in playing God because it wasn't natural or because it was for a gay couple. So yeah, we've covered these. I think it's, again, just people having really bad information or really possibly religious and or political and or personal beliefs that shape their idea of what a family should be. Yep. And I'll just say that for me personally, as a surrogate and as a woman, as a mother, I wholeheartedly reject and refuse to accept that as a valid argument. It's just complete and utter bullshit.
Yep. I couldn't agree more.
You want to take the next one?
Let's see. Are they in the room for the birth? And how does your husband feel about other men seeing your vagina? Wow. This one, I will say, is really situational and depends on what you decide to do for you and your intended parents. If you feel comfortable with having them in the room for the birth and they would like to be there, great. That's awesome. Some may decide that they don't want to. With my last surrogacy, I had a C-section and the dads were asked if they wanted to be in. And I will say those dads wanted nothing to do with that OR. They were like, nope, hard pass. I was okay with them being there. I would have been okay if I had a vaginal delivery with them being there. That was, you know, their choice. So they were given an option to be there and they wanted nothing to do with it. My surrogacy before that, both dads were in the room and I have some really funny pictures of them standing terrified in the corner waiting for him to be born. But that really comes down to what you decide you're comfortable with and what your intended parents decide they're comfortable with. There's no kind of right or wrong answer here. It's just kind of, if you're comfortable with a gay man seeing your vagina, let him in the room. If you're not, then don't. And that's okay. Right. You know,
or a straight man or a woman, like it's all situational. It's, I've seen birth stories and pictures where the surrogate is delivering vaginally and she's got the intended mother, the intended father, or the two dads and her husband all down at the vagina level, watching this baby come into the world, and everyone's crying tears of joy and no one's looking at the vagina. Everyone's looking at the baby and all of them are just all up in each other's business. And then I've seen other pictures like you mentioned, where it's like the dads or the intended parents are just off in a corner and they're staying above waist level. It's all about what you have all agreed to. And in the situation where you're doing a C-section, which I've done, there's no vaginas involved. They're just cutting you open. And that's a whole other thing, right? Yeah. A lot of people don't want to watch you get cut open. My intended mom sat there and she's like, oh my gosh, there he is. I see him. Whoa. She was really commenting through the whole surgery. So this is 100% silly. It's what you and the intended parents and your partner or husband feels comfortable with. All right. Last couple ones here. My boyfriend was told by a coworker, I can't believe you are making her have a baby for somebody else. Yeah. So again, as Mario mentioned earlier, and we've talked about in previous podcasts, and we'll probably talk about more in the future, lots of rigorous screening happens on not only the surrogate, but the surrogate's partner or spouse. And they have to participate in specifically the psychological evaluation, which talks about motivation and support and why are you supporting this person through this surrogacy. And there's a lot of work done all throughout that process by the agency as well as the mental health professionals to make sure that there is no coercion or forcing or even, on the other hand, lack of support in between the surrogate and her partner or her spouse. Yeah, it would be incredibly shocking for me to hear that there was ever a situation that slipped through the cracks of a reputable agency's screening process where a partner or spouse actually was coercing or forcing someone to do something. And I'm talking about surrogacy in America. Now, surrogacy in other countries, that might be the case. There might be situations where that's happening, but we're talking about USA surrogates. So yeah, I don't think that's a problem that anybody needs to worry about. And then you want to take the last one there?
This one says, one for me is if your blood is running through it, then it will have your DNA.
So someone told her that as a surrogate, her DNA is going to be running through the baby because her blood's running through the baby. She might not know how placenta and the exchange of blood and fluids and all those things happen in a pregnancy. So it's probably just a biology 101, human reproduction 101 refresher course that needs to happen there. But while we don't know everything about exactly what's passed between surrogate and baby, we do know that the surrogate's DNA is not in the baby.
Yep.
That comes from the, again, listen to the embryologist episode of this podcast that's coming next week, and you'll learn about how the genetic material from the egg and the sperm create the DNA of the child. And that's what determines the genetics of that baby. Yeah, that's a silly one. I think it's a mixture of prejudice, bad or improper or lacking education, and just believing a lot of crazy stuff that people have heard. And then you take all that, mix it up with the emotions and the lack of boundaries around pregnancy, and you get shit that people say to surrogates.
And I do also want to make a star and also say that majority of the comments that I personally have received are very nice, and not all comments that people make are nasty or like this. We just wanted to get some of those doozies in there because I have personally, and as you can hear, a lot of us have gotten them, several of them scattered throughout multiple journeys or one, but majority of people are overwhelmingly nice and good. And sometimes they just have questions or they're like, wow, that's great. Not all comments are rude and insensitive, but oh man, there are some that are. But I just want to say, these are not to scare you. Not everybody who comes up to you and finds out that you're a surrogate is going to be saying something nasty or inappropriate or anything like that, but it's not all of them, but who sometimes there's good. I will say, through all of my journeys, I did find out that, you know, surrogacy and infertility touches more people than you would think. And because we're trying to normalize surrogacy and normalize different ways of families coming to be, when you say I'm a surrogate, most people have said, oh, I could have used that when I was trying to get pregnant, or my sister-in-law, or somebody knows somebody. It definitely opens up conversations with people, and you realize that it's not as a secret society like it used to be, that a lot more people are using them and either have needed one or know somebody who does. And it's been very cool to be able to kind of help other people be able to talk about fertility and infertility and all of the things. So it's not all bad. There's much, much more positive that comes out of it. But these doozies are hilarious, and they
yeah,
sometimes people right? don't know any better.
No, I'm so glad you said that, because it brings to mind a couple of things as we wrap up here. I've always said that surrogates need to have a soft heart and a tough skin. You're right. Most of the comments are positive, but you need to be prepared for the negatives because they're going to come. And so this episode has been meant to make fun of a little bit the stuff that we hear and laugh at it because some of it's so absurd, but also to prepare potential surrogates or their spouses for what is definitely going to come, which are the misinformed comments and questions. That being said, I also agree. So I started my surrogacy journey like 9 years ago. And back then I got a lot more absurd, crazy questions than I do now. And what I'm getting now is also more people saying, that's amazing, and I know someone who was a surrogate, or that's amazing, and my brother-in-law, they just worked with a surrogate. So I'm hearing that a lot more, which I never used to hear at all. I had to do a lot more educating and explaining and 8-9 years ago than I do now. So that tells me that the information is getting out there. It is getting corrected, and people are a lot more informed these days, which again is the whole point of this podcast. So I love that. And you're right. They're not all bad, but the bad ones are funny.
Well, most definitely. I know my husband always has so much fun with it when, you know, people see that I'm pregnant and they ask him about it and he'll, baby's not mine. And then he long pause and waits for the people's reactions. And he's like, well, it's not hers either. She's a surrogate. Like he loved that. He ate that up. Like he loved to freak people out.
I actually love that. I think that's hilarious. I saw shirts like that, that someone had made a shirt for the surrogate and her husband, and his said, the baby's not mine. And hers said, it's not mine either. Just to confuse people.
We did that for Halloween one year. It was when Game of Thrones was super big. So I had surrogate mother of dragons on my shirt with two dragons. And then he had one that had a picture of Maury on it that said, you are not the father of those dragons. Like, you can have fun with it and people are going to be jerks regardless, and you're doing a good thing and that's why you're doing it. And so it makes it worth it. And like I said, I know I'm trying to teach my kids this right now too. Other people's opinions about you are none of your business and don't matter. As long as you're doing good, screw the rest of them, but it's definitely something to be prepared for and have your retorts. And I always like to tell people too, the random lady at the grocery store who asks me, when are you due? Or I don't have to explain my whole life story to the cashier. Oh, thank you. You just keep it moving. You don't have to like explain everything to everybody. If you're not, you'll know your situations when it isn't appropriate. And a lot of times people just have questions, and some people have come with ill intentions with their comments, but a lot of times they don't realize that their questions are insensitive. So I try to remember that too, that maybe they're not trying to come off as a jerk, but man, that comment was not cool.
And then I'll just end with one funny little story that you made me think of. Like, always at the grocery store is where we would get the questions. So at the time my daughter was a toddler, and we'd always get the questions like, oh, when are you due? Or, oh, they would talk to my daughter and they would say, aren't you so excited to have a new baby brother or sister? And she'd say, that's not my baby. And then she'd say the names of the moms. That's their baby. That's not my baby. And they'd look at her, they'd look at me, and then they just giggle and okay. And I would just laugh because it's like my 3-year-old knows what's going on. And these people have no idea how to make sense.
Oh yeah. My kids had some good doozies as well. Lucas would say, we're not keeping it. Or Mia told her teachers when they asked about my pregnancy, oh yeah, my mom's having a baby for two gay guys. I'm like, oh, okay, here we go. Just like the way that kids interpret it and how it's just so nonchalant to them is hilarious. And those definitely got some, and the people don't know how to respond to that and just walk away. Cause they're like, how do you, do you ask more follow-up questions? Do you not? Like, the kids definitely make it interesting.
I love it. I love it. This has been a fun episode. I was really looking forward to doing this one, and I hope that it shed some light for people on the crazy things that surrogates hear. And honestly, the fact that we just all laugh it off. So hopefully if you're thinking about being a surrogate, this has made you laugh as well. Because really, at the end of the day, like Mario said, you're doing a wonderful thing and it really doesn't matter what other people think. It's just sometimes funny to have a little fun with the crazy things that come your way. That brings us to the end of this episode of the Normalized Surrogacy Podcast by Surrogacy Mentor. I'm your host, Carrie Flamer-Powell, along with Mario Schubert. Be sure to check us out online at Surrogacy Mentor if you're interested in knowing whether surrogacy might be right for you. Take our 2-minute easy quiz on our website, and don't forget to subscribe to this podcast to learn more about gestational surrogacy and how to have a safe, ethical, and enjoyable surrogacy journey. Talk to you next time.
Bye.
Bye.